The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. Live from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander and Kelly Midland. In case you didn't believe us, we're at Bar Canada at the D. How about some Village People YMCA to start out the morning?
Yeah, get your Monday started right.
I put in the text to the COO to see if he can turn that down. This is going to be fun. All right. While you listen to the jams, we got a show today with Jake Hahn talking NHL playoffs with us. We'll talk baseball with Mark Borchardt, update our Guardians bet, of course, when we talk to Mark. Mike Somich will join us later in the show to talk all things NBA. I want to start out the show, though, Kelly, if I could. It's just great. Usually I power through, but this is something special this morning. First of all, I just want to thank Mrs. Scheffler for holding it in for one more week.
Yeah.
In case you missed it this morning, they wrapped up the RBC Heritage. They had a few holes to get to. Kelly's doing the whole YMCA dance. So Scotty Scheffler wins the RBC Heritage. And I just want to say, once again, Kelly, this is Friday night. Colin Morikawa's at the top of the leaderboard. Scheffler had himself a good Friday. He's three strokes back. So, you know, brain dead. I'm like, well, I'll just go Morikawa plus 480, and I'll go Scheffler plus 560, and we'll see what happens. And within 24 hours, I was a favorite with a plus 560. And there you go. Scotty Scheffler, once again, ladies and gentlemen, who 2 years ago we said on this show, you should probably bet him every tournament, he said.
Confirmed good at golf.
He's pretty good at golf. So, again, there are bets, there are markets out there. And by the way, I want to say shout out to Nelly Korda as well. Nelly Korda, for those, I did not have a bet on Nelly Korda, but for those who did, she wins her fifth consecutive LPGA tournament. She wins the Chevron Championship by two strokes. Fifth in a row, that ties the record. Nancy Lopez in 1978 and Annika Sorenstam in 2004, 2005, five consecutive LPGA tournaments. But I want to, the Scheffler thing, there are some props out there. Scheffler to win every major this year. I saw a 50-1 out there. Brady Cannon actually texted me this weekend to tell me about this. 50-1, but he says shop around because you might be able to find better. The problem with this is Mrs. Scheffler is not going to be able to hold it in forever. Medical term, by the way. And I think I think she's expected to give birth here within a week or two now. And so the PGA, golf's next major, is at Valhalla May 16th, which is, you know, 24 days away. He's a family man. The fly in the ointment of that bet is if he's a new father, which we expect him to be by then, is he even going to tee it off at the PGA? I don't know that he will.
I don't know. It's all going to depend on timing. He said, so I caught him on Thursday, I think it was, post-round. He said she was due end of this month. So
same deal.
That'd be like a week, maybe it gives a couple weeks.
A week and change, yeah.
I think as long as there's enough time removed for, I don't know. I mean, these are all personal plans, right, that they might have.
And
he was talking about having it very planned out that they did from the beginning of the season because they knew when their due date was. They knew what tournaments they were planning on playing. I think I'd be surprised, but it just depends on the timing.
Yeah, and having a child changes a human being, right? And he's already a guy who's, you know,
I don't know if he's human.
Well, I think he's
serious.
On the golf course. On the golf course, he's not human, but certainly once he gets off it, he's very human, right? He's like, it's golf, whatever, right? He's all about family. So I don't know. Do you make that bet with that looming, I guess? It's a tough bet to make because of that one factor. If that didn't exist, I'm not sure I don't make that bet. Why not?
Man. Yeah, I don't know what number I need on that. I have to think about that. 50-1 still. I feel like I need more than that.
I hope you all enjoyed
more majors.
I hope you all enjoyed the Village People Supremes beginning to the show. We seem to have gotten taken care of.
I was going to say, don't hold your breath. Hold on.
Yeah, that's right. All right, but I'm just saying, that's the problem with that bet. Oh, I spoke too soon.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the problem with that bet. So I wouldn't make it because of that. I'm just speaking personally. I'm not saying people don't make it. But I wouldn't because of that alone.
Yeah, it's definitely a factor. Yeah. I don't know that I'd make it regardless, but
all right. Just wanted to
I can't say it's a dumb bet. The guy's amazing right now.
I'm just saying, getting back to the theme of what I have said many times, sometimes sports betting doesn't have to be that hard. And remembering all the whole handicap was remembering to bet Scottie Scheffler if he was involved in this tournament at some point. And thankfully, Friday night, I'm like, oh, plus 560? Sure, why not?
Yeah, come on, man. That was... impressive turn. A lot of these guys going really low and big names right at the top of the leaderboard, and just another event where Scottie Scheffler's just a little bit better than everybody else.
NBA and NHL postseasons began. The playoffs began this weekend. In case you missed it, a combined 14-0 for home teams straight up. First 8-0 start in the NBA since 2013. First 6-0 start in the NHL since 1970. Can we flash up? Did we put that graphic together that I have about ATS? Did we do that? Or I can read it off my phone. We're not a trends show, but in the NBA, if you put together the postseasons, the playoffs of 2022, 2023, and this beginning of 2024, it is amazing how often the spread does not matter at all. Does not matter at all. We're already off to a 12-2 start. So basically, this is a sort of cousin to what we talk about during the NFL season. The NFL, 83% of the time, the spread doesn't come into play. What that means is that the favorite that wins covers, and that the dog wins outright 83% of the time. And in the playoffs, it's higher than that. Wild card weekend historically is the biggest example of that, where I think it gets to 88%. That dates back all the way to 1978. Well, NBA playoffs, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter at all. So if you go to 2022, 83-9, Kelly. 83. There were 92 playoff games in the NBA. 83 out of those 92 times, the spread did not matter. In other words, the favorite won while covering, or the dog won outright. So the only exception are favorites that win but don't cover. So it went 83-9 in 2022. Last year, it went 75-15, and so far this year, 12-2. I'll do the math. That's 170-26 over the last three playoffs. 86.73% of the time, the spread doesn't come into play. And so this was one of these weekends, if I just go through them one by one, take that for what it's worth, by the way. But the first round, I would imagine, has a lot to do with that. So here's
still interesting.
It's still interesting. Yeah. It's interesting to bring up Cleve T.A. I want to hat tip to him because he was the first person, I think, that made me aware of that. Jason Weingarten reminded me that I had tweeted that out last year. Here's a real brief recap, non-guessing line style of the weekend. Cleveland beats Orlando 97-83 in the 4-5 game in the Eastern Conference. Cavs led by 20 in the fourth quarter. Donovan Mitchell had 30. These are all covers. Minnesota beat Phoenix by 25. Anthony Edwards went 33-9-6. Gobert went 14-16 in the T-Wolves' rout of the Suns. Then in a somewhat competitive game, this was the most competitive game on Saturday, the Knicks did beat the Sixers by 7. But in defeat, Tyrese Maxey 33, Embiid 29-8-6, Lowry 18. The Knicks outscored the Sixers in the second quarter 33-12. Knicks trailed by 3, though, to start the fourth quarter because the Sixers punched them back. And it was a one-point game with just over 5 minutes left before the Knicks put some distance between themselves and the Sixers. Denver then beat the Lakers by 11 on Saturday night. The Lakers led by 12 halfway through the second quarter. And then Denver had it tied a little over 3 minutes after that. It was actually 76-75 Nuggets with under 5 minutes left in the third quarter. Then a 13-0 run broke that game open. AD 32-14-5. LeBron 27-6-8 in defeat. Jokic 32-12-7. Murray 22-6-10. Porter Jr. with 19-8. Gordon with 12-11. And then yesterday, the routes continued. Boston by 20 in a game that really wasn't that close. Beat the Heat by 20, 114-94. The Celtics led by 15 at the half, by 32 after three. There was a point there where Miami almost covered. Looked like they were going to cover the spread late.
Yep.
Clippers crushed the Mavericks. The final score was only 12, but they led by 12 after the first quarter, by 26 at the half, after a 22-8 second quarter. Doncic 33-13-6. Kyrie 31-7-4 in defeat. Harden with 28. Paul George with 22. Zubats 20-15. Then Milwaukee crushed Indiana 109-94. Season low for the Pacers, 94 points. Bucks led by 9 after the first, by 27 at the half. only by 12 after the third, but it was back to 20 just over 3 minutes into the fourth. Lillard, 35 in the first half, zero in the second.
Yeah, I was thinking about anybody who bet alts out there on him.
Oh, brutal.
Like, Todd, you know, went 40-plus and stuff like that.
Todd had an in-game over 40 and a half.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's right.
And then last night, finally, we got a game.
Yep.
OKC beats New Orleans 94-92. New Orleans had multiple chances to go up two possessions at 90-88. Then they got four chances to break a 90-90 tie, four offensive rebounds. Couldn't do anything with it. Holmgren's block set up an SGA, you know, his patented in-the-lane jumper, and he got fouled. That was a three-point play. It ended up with C.J. McCollum missing a three with 1 second left, and the Thunder holds on. They escape with a victory in that game. That was really the only competitive game down the stretch, with apologies to the Knicks and the Sixers. By the way, Fast Break Breakfast puts this out. These are the Pelicans' possessions from 3:34 left to 32 seconds left. Turnover, turnover, turnover. Missed shot that was blocked. Turnover, four missed shots on one possession.
It was last really gross. One blocked. Like, it was a fun ending because that game was close, but oh my God, was it ugly basketball by both of those teams. It did scream of youth being on the court in a high-pressure situation, and you know, neither one of these teams with a ton of experience there, and it showed.
Which of those series do you think is just a one-off and that the team that got beat actually has a chance to win it, and which of those do you think, nah, that's just how it's going to be?
Well, Celtics, the latter, and I'll stick with Mavericks. I'll stick with Mavericks. That blew my mind.
You think that's the one-off?
Yes.
And that was without Kawhi.
Yes.
Who was announced out. We'll look at tonight's games coming up as well. Three in the NBA, four in the NHL, continuation of two series. To begin, we'll do that with Jay Kahn. A little baseball on the other side with Mark Borchardt. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's $5 bet, $200 got. In bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN. Only at DraftKings. The crown is yours. That's VSIN. Skill Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. After the show today, I am doing an NFL draft podcast. Kelly, beating the book. NFL draft podcast.
That should be good.
Vegas refund, Luke Swain and Drew Dinsick.
Ooh, nice. There we go.
And we have sort of caucused before the podcast because obviously, you don't want to just talk about bets we've already made that aren't available anymore at current prices. Mm-hmm. So we have definitely tailored it to stuff that is here and now available today.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
We should caucus more often. We should do that before the show more often.
Caucus.
Nothing like a good solid caucus.
Yeah. They love it in Iowa.
They do. I'll
tell you that much.
They really do.
Tennis, by the way, at VSiN.com/bets. Every bet made by every host and every guest on this network, no matter the sport, is at VSiN.com/betsforsurvivor. Four clay tennis winners in a row have brought us back to our season highs in
tennis.
Nice. But they're in Madrid this week and next week, and it's qualies today, so no tennis plays today. Still in the qualifiers.
Okay.
Jake Kahn, our hockey guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a noted hockey bettor, but also bets some golf and tennis. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, co-host of The Point, the Fantasy Hockey Show on Sirius XM NHL. You can follow him at jhan4. That's the number four. What's happening, Jake?
Not too much, guys. Like you said, clay court tennis season is in full swing now as we get ready for Roland Garros. Doing well there. Not so much on the golf course, as we talked a little bit before I jumped on here. Scottie Scheffler, unless you're betting him or people are betting him like you are, Gil, congrats on the hit there. You're getting basically cleaned out in golf. So I am happy that NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs are here right now, because it's always a great time of the year, and especially the first round, there's a lot of options to get into.
Okay, so the NHL playoffs began this weekend. Six of the eight series have begun, and it was not unlike the NBA. Bruins were a favorite against the Maple Leafs in the 3-6. They won 5-1. Canes were a minus 250 favorite against the Islanders in the 5-4 in the East. They won 3-1. That was on Saturday. Then yesterday, Canucks took down the Predators 4-2. They were a minus 145 favorite in the 2-7 in the West. The Jets and Avalanche was cool. That was a 7-6 shootout in the 4-5 game in the West. Jets winning that. That was a minus, they were -110. So that was the coin flip game, and it was really a coin flip in the end. And then the other two East series were also, you know, went as expected. Rangers were a big favorite against the Caps. They beat them 4-1. Caps didn't look good. And then the Panthers as a -165 favorite against the Lightning. They won that 3-2. Of those six results, before we get to the four games today, of those six results, which is the one that sort of was the most noteworthy to you? I'll ask the same question of hockey, of you in hockey as I did Kelly earlier in NBA. Which to you is like, okay, yeah, we're going to see that happen more often than not in the series, or which is the one where you're like, well, that might just be a one-off?
Yeah, the Yurochuk continues, at least early on in these series, guys, right? We're seeing it. We just talked about Scottie Scheffler. He wins every single week. The UConn men's basketball team, they were chalked. They went on this big run. And now, you know, we're kind of seeing it early in the NBA and NHL playoffs. Again, we're just getting started in these series, so things can flip very quickly. And, you know, home teams still have work to do. You got two games to start off your series. You want to win both of them to protect your home court or home ice advantage. In this situation, I think the two Metro Division series, the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers winning, those I expect to be quick series. Now, the Hurricanes, who play again tonight, we can get into that game a little bit as well against the Islanders. They had some troubles against the New York Islanders. I think that one actually stood out to me. Ultimately, they found a way to win the game, but it didn't look the way that I expected it to look. So the Rangers look completely dominant. Gil, you mentioned that Avs-Jets game, which was just incredible from an entertainment standpoint, by far the best game of the weekend because it was kind of dull up to that point, not a lot of excitement. So that game injected a lot of life into the playoffs. And I'll say out of all the favorites that won, I think the most important was the Vancouver Canucks. A lot of people doubting this team, including myself, going into the playoffs. They get down in that game. It looks like Nashville's the better team for the most part, and they find a way to grind it out in the third period. So I thought an impressive win for the Canucks to maybe silence some of the critics, at least for the time being.
Our buddy Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports, said to me this weekend, he said, Gil, the Caps, and I think he called me a horrible name while he was saying this to me. He said, the Caps are the worst playoff team in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Is that true?
It's hard. Honestly, it's hard for me to disagree. I'm sure there's been a few. If we really go back and dig deep, I bet we could find a couple that snuck into the playoffs that had absolutely no business being in there, but they have to be in that conversation. I mean, you look at the goal differential from this season, and I mean, I was following this Eastern Conference playoff race very closely the last month of the season. It didn't feel like anybody really wanted it. Pittsburgh actually goes on a great run, but they dug themselves such a hole that it was too little too late. Ultimately, I felt like if the Penguins or the Red Wings got in, we would have had a much more entertaining first round series against the New York Rangers. The Caps, there's just not a lot there to get excited about. I think their only hope of winning a game or two in this series would be on the back of their goaltender, Charlie Lindgren, who kept them in it as long as he could on Sunday afternoon, but they're just they're outmatched in that Rangers series. I don't expect that going longer than five games.
Wow, I thought it was very aggressive of Felica, but maybe not so much. Okay, today four games, two of them are games two, if you will. The Bruins with the 1-0 lead over the Leafs. The Leafs, I don't know if you know this, Jake, trying to win their first cup since 1967. Bruins are -138. Canes, the Hurricanes, -245 in game two. They're already up 1-0 against the Isles. Any thoughts on those two?
Yeah, well, I have heard about the fact that the Leafs haven't won since 1967, and people don't like to get reminded here in the city of Toronto, but didn't get off to a good start on Saturday. I actually thought they played a pretty decent game throughout the first half. They hit a post down 1-0, would have tied the game. Boston goes back the other way, 2-0, and then they're kind of chasing it. So I think that they are capable of winning games in this series, and I do still expect this to be a long one. Ultimately, you're never really in trouble until you lose a home game. So I think the Leafs will keep this one a lot closer tonight. There's just a lot of question marks with the lineup. Will William Nylander play? He was out on Saturday. He played all 82 games in the regular season and then mysteriously out in game one of the playoffs, and that's a big player for them to be missing. So I'm staying away from a side here, guys. I will go to a player prop. John Tavares, I was on this on Saturday night. It cashed easily over 3.5 shots in this game. Look for him to just be around the net, trying to bang pucks in. He loves some of those empty calorie shots. He's not afraid to just shoot it at a goalie's chest. So over 3.5 shots for John Tavares at plus money there. And in the Islanders-Hurricanes game, I mentioned it. I was kind of shocked at how well the Islanders played in Carolina. Playing in Carolina is just a nightmare. They have a great home ice advantage. They just play a really good playoff style that makes it frustrating on opposing teams. And I thought the Islanders were the better team for good chunks of that game, in particular the second period. So if you want to get a little risky and maybe go with the money line, you can. It is tough to win in Carolina, but I think they can keep this game close. So I will play the Islanders on the puck line at +1.5, lay a little bit of juice with that, and maybe hope for our first overtime game of the playoffs.
Okay. I want to get to the two series that haven't started yet in a minutes, but if you could answer this in 10 seconds, is there a series price, an adjusted series price on any of the teams that are down 1-0 that you would take a flyer on?
It would be the Nashville Predators for me, because I already liked them going in and I still saw a lot of great signs from their game. They lose a game on the road. And I still felt like they played quite well. So for me, it would be the Preds.
All right. Preds checking in at, I'm not seeing it listed where I'm looking right now. We'll get a price for you on that. Okay. Two series that have not started that are the Nightcaps tonight. First of all, for those around here, obviously they're keyed in on the Vegas Golden Knights. The Stars are -140 tonight in game one of that series.
I like the Dallas Stars. It's a little chalky for me, but I do still I'm comfortable laying the juice here. I suppose you could look to the puck line and try to get them to win by two to get a little bit of plus money. But I just like Dallas in this series in general. I think they're going to be too much for Vegas. I have full respect for the Vegas Golden Knights. They won the cup last year. There's a lot of question marks with this roster going into the postseason. They're trying to acclimate new players to the lineup that they traded for at the deadline that are coming off injury. Mark Stone, we don't know what his level is going to be at coming off of an injury as well. So there's just a lot of question marks with this roster. And I just think Dallas is built for this season, this playoff run. So I like the Stars game one. I like the Stars in the series here as well.
And then the Oilers -168 game one over the Kings.
Give me the Oilers here, but I don't love the price around -180. Maybe you can find -175 out there a little bit. I actually like the over in this game if I have to pick something, because I do think the Oilers can open it up and score on LA, especially if the Kings get into any sort of penalty trouble. And I really don't trust the Kings goaltending, and that's never a good thing going into a series against the Oilers and the firepower that they have up front. So I think they're going to try to set the tone in this game one with the offense. And I do think the Kings can score on Edmonton as well. Edmonton's no defensive juggernaut or has great goaltending either. So I think the Kings can keep up to an extent. So give me the over in the late game.
All right, so over Oilers, Kings, Stars game one, Stars series, the prop earlier. And what was the Preds series price? Did you get that?
Nope, have it in front.
Oh, I thought you were leaving.
I'll have it for you on the way back.
Okay, there you go. Jake, thank you for the bevy of picks. We appreciate it.
Good luck this week, guys.
You too. Jake Hahn, everybody, from SiriusXM NHL. Always great checking in with him. Little NFL draft on the other side.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in this morning, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. We just saw something we have to put up. This has nothing to do with anything, but part of that same athletic anonymous NBA poll that we were talking about earlier, how Wembanyama was clearly the defensive player of the year by that poll, and how NBA anonymous NBA players thought Rudy Gobert was the most overrated, which sounds more like just being about popularity than anything. But there was the great, they also asked these anonymous NBA players, who's the greatest player of all time? Who's the greatest player of all time, right? Simple question. It's the old Jordan LeBron thing, right?
This was circulating. I caught this circulating around our old NBA chat that I know you share with the same group with the tennis chats, right?
Is it the same people?
I think a lot of them are.
So Jordan, 45.9%. The great Michael Jordan, MJ. No surprise, right? LeBron James, number two, 42.1%. Kobe, 9.8%. Oh, okay. Some people think he is, some people think he isn't. Steph Curry, 4. Magic Johnson, 5.
Okay, whatever. Maybe they got a vote. Yeah. Right. 133 votes. Okay.
I'll give you 1,000 guesses who number 6 is.
That's too funny, man.
Paul Pierce, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Pierce was 0.8% of the vote. I'm going to guess Paul Pierce has a vote in this. He's got to be one of the anonymous.
Oh, my God.
Paul Pierce.
It was supposed to be all current players, though, right? Like, I think, wasn't that what you caught on the Wemby one?
Oh,
I think all these are all current players.
So maybe it's Paul Pierce talking to somebody. Vote for me.
I don't know what's funnier, the idea of Paul Pierce voting for himself or someone in the NBA currently possibly, even just possibly, thinking that Paul Pierce belongs in the same conversation.
Clearly influenced by Paul Pierce, no question. Really? Sixth greatest of all time?
I actually feel like we could whittle this down somehow. Like, okay, who would be in love with Paul Pierce? Clearly someone who hates LeBron and Steph Curry, right? Like, has to hate both of them to consider Paul Pierce somehow above them, who they've played against.
There's
right?
There's no way you can explain yourself into Paul Pierce. There's no way.
I don't think so either. I'm trying to. I want to know who this is so bad now.
But the reason that it's comical is because we know of Paul Pierce that he highly overrates his position in the annals of NBA history.
Yes. He was a very, very good player. One of the all-time very goods. Absolutely. Yep. Well said.
Yep.
I want to know who voted for him so bad. Also, like, is it like, it's also hilarious if it's just a joke, right? Like, if you're like,
right.
Like, if it's someone Pierce. In the locker room that's like, yo, bro, I just got this pull from The Athletic. I'm just going to write in Paul Pierce and see what happens.
That's more likely than anything, that somebody knows that Paul Pierce highly overrates himself in the history of the NBA and is like, let me mess with Paul Pierce and vote for him for all greatest of all time just to throw his ego into this.
I mean, like, if LeBron sent his name in, that would be like the greatest LeBron move ever.
Paul Pierce. Should be noted he's a Boston Celtic champion, but there you go.
Yeah, I know. We're like sitting here laughing. We're laughing about an all-time good.
No, but I'm just like, I mean, I can go through players in history who won championships who were key cogs in NBA teams. Like, I'll go back to most people's time. Bobby Dandridge of the 78 Bullets is a better player for his era than Paul Pierce was
Roughly how many names fall in between, let's say, even a MJ LeBron and where Paul Pierce ranks? 60? More. Okay.
Are you kidding me? Of all time?
I would think way more, too.
Not noted on that brief list we just discussed. Wilt, Russell.
No Wilt, Kareem, no Larry Bird, none of those guys.
Paul Pierce. Anyway, we get tweets.
Where does he rank in the all-time greatest Celtics?
That's right. Well, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Jesse Welch, it's truly sad to see these awards voters... Unwritten rules. Can't be a second-year player for most improved. Can't be a pitcher for MLB Rookie of the Year. Can't come back from dying on the field for comeback player of the year in football. Nevada Azer. Oh, it's a great question. Hey, Gil, not sure if you've covered this, but are we to assume that starting tonight that TNT will start announcing the awards winners? Great question.
Next couple days, I'm assuming.
It starts tomorrow night.
Okay.
The awards winners will begin on TNT, not tonight, but tomorrow night, Tuesday, April 23rd. Now, if your follow-up question to me is, oh, that's great, Gil, what's the order of the awards? I cannot tell you that because they just don't tell you. At least they haven't yet.
I don't know that they've been consistent with it over the years. I mean, it's always the lower-level ones, and they build up to MVP. So you're going to get sixth man most improved.
Ooh,
you're going to find those out earlier than you're going to get MVP.
You know what they're doing, though? They are allowing everybody to see every voter's complete ballot, though.
Oh, that's good.
How about that?
I heard Greg Anthony last night say SGA was his MVP.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't just gives me a little. Brief, fleeting piece of film.
By the way, do you have the Jimmy Jackson, Greg Anthony problem? Like, when they're doing color, I can never remember. Like, I can't discern between their two voices.
Greg Anthony, I feel like, pops up everywhere. Like he was more, that was last night where I'm like, Greg Anthony, you're doing games here?
I had the same thought. Because when Jimmy Jackson was doing it, I was like, oh, is that Greg Anthony? And they're like, Greg Anthony, haha. And there was Greg Anthony last night, so I don't know.
I don't know. For me, for whatever reason, his voice, like, you know, certain. I feel like it's very individual by individual, but some voices just, like, they stand out to you. For whatever reason, his voice stands out to me.
Okay.
Not that it's very, like, a voice that I would say stands out, you know?
NFL draft, Thursday. A little more than 72 hours away now. Again, I'm doing the podcast with Luke and Drew after the show today. Let's just look at some of the prices again. And I just want to say this, Kelly. I think after my first flurry of bets, I think what I'm most happy with myself about is that I've let the draft come to me. In terms of bets. So I thought I was done with betting. And then I thought the 4.5 quarterbacks over got too high, so I bet the under because I actually have a lean to the under. I wasn't going to bet it, but when it got so high, I'm like, I kind of think enough about the under 4.5. I'm going to bet it at this price now. I got it at plus 160, not nearly as high as some others. And then the other one is I had no intention, none of betting who's going to be the second pick in the draft. And then if you listen to the show on Friday, I did a whole first segment on why I thought the move against Jaden Daniels going two was just bunk. And I gave my reasons as to why I thought Adam Peters is absolutely going to draft Jaden Daniels number two. And so I got into that market. I was like, fine, you moved it this much. Right now, Jaden Daniels is minus 155. I got him at minus 125 Friday morning. And that wasn't even the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
Got to minus 110 or minus 115.
Yeah, I added, we talked about it on the show on Friday. I wanted to see where the resistance hit. And it did hit on Friday by the time we were here sitting here. But I bet at minus 140. And then I bet at minus 145 again yesterday because this price does seem to start I think it's Caesars in town or something, minus 180 it's back up to. So it is kind of running back Jaden Daniels' way. So, yeah, that was when, you know, we've talked about it for weeks. Like, I always liked him number two. The price was just a little, it was a little prohibitive for me getting involved. Now I feel like, okay, we got a little bit more news out there. I don't really think there's anything that makes me think that they are very, very much, you know, crossed him off their list or looking elsewhere. So I'm in with you. Let's go. Number two overall.
Jaden Daniels right now, minus 155 is for the number two pick in the draft. And again, part of the crux for me on Friday was Adam Peters is a human being. I know it's his first gig as the GM with Washington. I know it's a new owner. And I know supposedly he has carte blanche. But in the end, Adam Peters is a human being, and one of the things as a human being that you're motivated by is fear of failure. If you draft Jaden Daniels and it fails, it is not quite the same repercussion coming as it would be if you draft Drake May and it fails. That is as big of a motivator as anything else of all the other football stuff that you love about Jaden Daniels, the multi-dimension aspect of his game, the fact that he played at a bigger program and against greater competition. All those things, but there's the human element as well. And again, I know he wasn't with the franchise, but Adam Peters has to know this franchise just drafted a UNC quarterback a couple years ago, didn't work out in Sam Howell. And when they did pick number two, a quarterback so many years ago, 2012, exactly 12 years ago, it was RG3, and that worked out great until RG3 got hurt. Number three, Drake May is your favorite, minus 145. Jaden Daniels plus 155. J.J. McCarthy plus 320. I'm not sure New England's drafting a quarterback, man. I don't know. They could trade out. I'm just not convinced here.
Well, I mean, if they drafted the third pick, they're drafting a quarterback.
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
Think so, but I don't know that they're... Let's put it this way. I haven't made a bet here because I'm not sure.
I mean, my opinion has not changed since we've been talking about the past. We 3, 4, and 5 up in the air Up in the air. I think any of these spots are going to be trade destinations, if you will.
Number four is Arizona. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the favorite. If they stay there, minus 225 on Marvin Harrison Jr. J.J. McCarthy at plus 180. Again, will there be a trade? Will they stand pat? If they stand pat, what did C.J. Stroud say about his old teammate Marvin Harrison Jr.? If they're staring you in the face with Marvin Harrison Jr., he said, don't be dumb.
Yeah. I am rooting for a Patriots trade because that was the first bet I made. I made it pretty sizable, Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals, not fourth overall, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals. So, man, I'm hoping the Pats trade and they get their wide receiver just falls right to them.
Five.
Yeah, five is
Chargers. Malik Nabers plus 230, Marvin Harrison Jr. if he falls plus 250, JJ's plus 250. Joe Alt is still where I bet him. It's plus 475. I bet Joe Alt to go five. And I think if the Chargers stay pat, that's who they'll pick.
Yeah, me and you, a little oppo here. I've got Nabers, you've got Alt, but yeah. I think we both agree it's trade, offensive line, or wide receiver. It's one of those three.
Alt and Odunze 5 and 6 are my, again, longer shot bets. Sixth pick in the draft. Malik Nabers is plus 150. This is the Giants pick. Roma Dunze is plus 250. That's lower than where I got it. I got plus 325. J.J. McCarthy, 5-1. Joe Alt, plus 850. Seven, Joe Alt. This is the Titans pick. He's always been the favorite at minus 165. The eighth pick, which is the Falcons.
Oh, we got to talk more about that. No longer Dallas Turner, your favorite.
Latu is the short shot at plus 185. Dallas Turner's plus 220 now. Oh, boy. That is a bit of movement right there. more on the podcast on Beating the Books Out on that. Kelly and I will talk about this as well. We'll come back, Mike Somich, and more.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Live at Bar Canada at the D, getting all kinds of texts about what we just said. Michael Montesano texted Marvin Harrison Jr., 25-1 to go number three. He says, I took it. I have him going number four as well, but just in case, I took it. I just want to.
You know what, Michael? I might be joining you on that. Yeah, I might be joining.
We were going to talk NBA, and we will with Mike Somich, but I want to harken back to what you just said at the end, because I asked you just randomly on the way, and I'm like, where's the surprise? And you're like, three, Patriots are taking Marvin Harrison. Whoa, wait a minute. Okay, so off air, we were talking about this, because I am with you in the sense that I think I know what's happening at one and two, but I really don't know what's happening at number three. What we were talking about off air was, if that happens, describe the effects of that then moving forward in that draft. Who gets affected the most?
Well, I mean, the other quarterbacks, I mean, Drake May to me obviously gets affected because he's going to drop down. But I think the Arizona Cardinals then have a scramble on their hands because they've got to move out of that four pick. They don't want to take Malik Nabers at four. They want to get as much capital as they can for whoever wants to come up and get Drake May. So I think you kind of see a scramble on there. The question is it going to be someone like the Raiders who want to jump up? The Broncos have mentioned that they want to move up for a quarterback, but they don't really have the capital. The Vikings are sitting there at 11 and 23, and they're just licking their chops because if Drake May ends up going four and someone trades up for him, the cost for them to go get JJ McCarthy at, let's say, you know, eight from the Falcons is significantly less. You've got the Giants who are sitting there. They now have a decision because McCarthy most likely going to be bored on six. So to me, it really shifts the balance of what happens here. And it affects JJ McCarthy a lot. I think he ends up going maybe outside the top 10. You could see him at like 11 to the Vikings if they decide to just call everybody's bluff and say, hey, we're going to keep this draft capital. We think we're going to get our guy. And if not, we're fine with Penix in the second round, right?
I think that what you just hit on there at the end, I think that's the biggest effect. Like someone like McCarthy could fall outside of the top 10 and then becomes just a different draft than we imagine, which I think then brings up the point, which we don't say enough, if ever, which is remember, not only is this an information-based thing, but the draft is set for Thursday night. The first round is Thursday night. Had the draft been set for any other night, either a week in advance, a week later, 5 days in advance, 5 days later, whatever, that it is a moving target of where these teams' brains are at that moment, right? And that we're actually betting that. We're betting where everyone's brains will be on that particular night and not 2 days before, 2 days after, or 5 days before, 5 days after. And that just, if you think of it in that way, it does become kind of amusing because you're like, oh, wow. If I'm right, I'm right because I timed it right. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong because I just blew it on the timing.
Well, that was also, I feel like that's also been a big reason of a lot of us thinking that teams are going to trade back into the end of that first round for a quarterback, like over the years, not one specific draft, but over the years because they've separated the day, right? Like that's always one of JVT's big thing. We're like, we make too much of that. Like, it's still under.
Yeah. I could talk about the Guardians for an hour, and I could talk about this draft for an hour, which we will after the show here in NFL draft podcast, again, with Vegas Refund, Luke Swain, and Drew Densick. All right, Mike, NBA. Let's get to your thoughts. Well, before we get to your thoughts, I'm sorry, one more thing. We had this thing where I set the hypothetical line on Celtics losses in the Eastern Conference 2 weeks ago at 5.5. It was right before Giannis went down. Then, obviously, Jimmy Butler went down. Embiid keeps re-aggravating it. My God, 5.5 is way too high now, right?
I like my side of this one, Gil. I'm not going to lie. It looks like it's way too high. I mean, it feels like Boston's going to be able to sweep Miami. Miami tried to use some zone magic to be able to slow them down, and Boston just rained threes down over their head. They're not going to be able to do that in this series. I'd be shocked if Miami able to get a game from Boston at this point. We saw the sweep price go off at plus 125. Boston was 8,000-1, or I'm sorry, minus 8,000 to win the series. So feels like this is going to be a nice little 4-0, which means that we've got six games to give. We just have to avoid the 4-3, 4-3 in the those last two rounds. And the winner of the Cavs Magic draws the Celtics in the second round. And while they're not banged up, they're not very good either.
No,
so
they're not.
Happy with that position.
All right, Cavs Magic, let's start there. You have a play tonight's first game tonight.
I can't quit the Magic. Look, I love this defense. I don't like this Cavs team. It feels like Donovan Mitchell's halfway out the door. He missed 15 of the last 22 games. He did look pretty good in that first game. But if you look at how the Magic were able to play defensively, they gave up 20, 20, and 24 points the second, third, and fourth quarter. We saw Cleveland shoot the basketball very well in the first quarter. That was really the difference in this game. The Magic at one point were 2 for 19 from three-point range. They can't shoot worse. So I'll go back to the well here. I'll take some plus 5.5 for the Magic. And if I was going to rebet a series here, I would take the Magic again in the series.
Oh, okay.
We're at 1-0. If this goes back 1-1, this is going to flip all the way to the Magic's being short dogs or slight favorites because they take over home court advantage. This is going to be a rock fight of a series all the way through. I'm happy to take the Magic here at the plus 5.5. And I'd sprinkle on the series if I didn't have some pre-series.
Sprinkle on the adjusted series price on the Magic for Mike Somich. And again, they're north of $3 are the Magic on the adjusted series price. So he likes the Magic better than he likes the Pelicans on the adjusted series price, down 1-0 at 6.50 to 1.
I mean, Mike, clearly Donovan Mitchell told the Cavs, all I need to win is one playoff series with you guys and I'll sign back, right? That's the only way any of this makes any sense. Clearly that conversation already happened.
I mean, he's out, right? Like, there's no way he's coming back to Cleveland with the way this has gone the last couple of years. I'd be shocked if he's going to be a Cavalier at the end of this season. I think Cleveland tanked because they wanted to try and get that one playoff series. I know you guys were talking about that a couple segments ago. But the problem is, congratulations, you win. Here's the Boston Celtics, who are going to either sweep you or beat you 4-1. How's that going to feel walking out the door?
Mazel tov. You're staying away from the game two between the Sixers and the Knicks tonight?
I am. I laid it with the Knicks in the first game. This is a number adjusted quite a bit. So that was -3 in the first game. Now we're seeing -6 here. I still have so many questions about Embiid, what you're going to get from him. He still looks like a shell from himself. I thought he was done when he did that little alley-oop play. It was all the emotions in one play because you thought, hey, this is what makes the Sixers great and what the problem is. But I can't get up to 6 here. I think this number is right with the adjusted total. So I laid it in game one. I'm not going to touch game two here. I may take some Knicks when we go back home, depending on what the price is going to be, because you are going to see this line shorten up significantly when they're in Philadelphia.
Nuggets are touchdown favorites in game two tonight against the Lakers. You are betting this a couple ways.
I am. Favorite bet on the board right now, under 5.5 games in this series, -110. If you watch that Lakers-Nuggets game, tell me what could have gone better for the Lakers.
I agree.
That was pretty much the A effort. That was everything you'd want. LeBron was a machine in the first half. Davis goes for what, 34 and 14, something crazy like that. And they still fall 10 points short to the Nuggets. This is a problem. The Nuggets are just better and they're more efficient. I think the Nuggets get done with this series in 4 or 5. Love the under 5.5 games this series, -110. And I'm going to lay the first half with the Nuggets here. You saw LeBron out of gas. Davis started getting gas in the late parts of that game. They've got to play at altitude again tonight. Nuggets, very good home team first half. So we'll lay the 4 with the Nuggets in the first half in this game, but love the series under 5.5 games.
Yeah, AD 32-14-5 in that game one performance. And I said basically the same thing earlier, Mike, which is, I mean, I know a lot of people love the Lakers, but what else did you have to see to know that eventually the Nuggets are going to beat you?
Literally their A game. That was as good as a gift from the Lakers, and they still could not even keep that game close. And that to me is a huge issue. And I don't see how, even with the extended rest you have in between games in the playoffs, it just feels like LeBron's going to run out of gas every single one of these games. I don't fully trust AD is able to put that performance every single time. And on the other side, I trust the Nuggets to play like that.
Yes,
pretty much every game.
That's
They're
right.
consistent.
Yep.
That's what makes them so great.
I agree completely. All right, 90 seconds. We got to run, but let me circle back to the draft because I've asked this of pretty much everybody on the show that we've talked draft to, which is, what do you think you know for sure? What are the things you're most confident in?
For me, there's three picks I'm confident in. One's going to be Caleb Williams. I think 7's Joe Alt, unless something goes really crazy and you see him go 5. I think 10 is Brock Bowers. I think all of those make a ton of sense from that perspective. I also like the under on Brian Thomas Jr. Right now you get 19.5 out there. I think his floor is the 18th pick. When you look at this wide receiver class, you've got the three big guys, right? You've got Adunze sitting there at 3, and the gap between Adunze and Brian Thomas Jr., there is a gap. But the biggest gap in this wide receiver market to me is between Brian Thomas Jr. and whoever you want to put at number 5. With how valuable wide receivers are, especially on rookie deals, I think someone goes up and gets Brian Thomas Jr. You've also got the Jags sitting there at 17. He's a likely landing spot for them. The 18th pick, likely landing spot for him. You can get under 19.5 at plus 115. I took under 18.5 at plus 185. I think he ends up going in those early teen spots.
Wow. I hope you're wrong about the Jags, though, in that specific spot. I got them drafting a cornerback at 17. We'll see. We didn't say Samo bomb. Let's see if we can do it. Samo bombing. No, nothing. Didn't
no, come. Okay. Nothing.
There we go.
There it is.
There
hey.
Is a late Samo bomb. All right, it's official segment. Thank you, Mike. That was a lot. Appreciate that. NHL, NBA, and the NFL draft. Thank you as always, man.
Of course, it's a great sports time right now.
It is.
Love the NFL draft in here with the playoffs going on.
Yeah, while Scottie Scheffler and Nelly Korda just destroy golf every week. Thank you, sir. Enjoy. Glad your daughter got to work. Or to school, I should say. Mike
Somich. It's our work. We'll allow it.
Mike Somich, everybody, at Samobomb18 on Twitter, co-host of The Handle, which he does with Matt Brown each and every Saturday and Sunday, 12 noon Eastern. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.